Good morning. So today we're going to be looking at, carrying on our series of So Why Do We? And we're looking at why do we encourage personal devotion. Now personal devotion, what we're saying when we say personal devotion is why do we encourage each other and why do we spend time just one-to-one with God in personal devotion, in personal dedication, time just spent, just us and God. We've looked at why do we come together to worship. And we've looked at last week, why do we come together? But today we're looking at why do we encourage each other to spend time just us and God? Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as I heard this title, I started to feel guilty. As soon as I heard it, I thought, oh, this is one of the areas of my life, and I hope I'm not the only one, that I find difficult, that I struggle with, and I know could be and should be a lot better. And you know, my excuse is always, I'm just too busy to do personal devotions, you know. And it's done with the best will in the world. Like, I'm thinking, God has given me stuff to do right in front of me. He's called me to do these things. And I'm going to do these things to the best of my ability. But in doing those, I become too busy to spend time just me and him. And even as I say it, I realize how ridiculous it really is. And one of the stories that's kind of hit me this week as I've been looking at this, just before we get into anything else, is the story of Joshua. You know, Joshua was commanded by God to go and take the promised land, okay, that had been promised to Israel for hundreds of years. And I imagine leading an army and taking the promised land keeps you kind of busy. It seems that doing anything with Israel keeps you busy. But it would have been a very busy time. He would have had loads of things to do. And yet God says to him, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. If Joshua, you know, you could make a case that if anybody in the Old Testament could have got away without doing personal devotion because they had too much to do from God, you could argue it's Joshua. And yet Joshua is commanded to spend time meditating on the word, meditating on the law, spending personal devotional time with God. So out right at the beginning, I want to put a thing out there to say the fact is in my life, and I say it in your life as well, busyness is no excuse for not doing personal devotion. But having said that, I want you to put any guilt that you're feeling aside right now, and I want you to just leave it. All right, because actually the guilt that we feel for not doing personal devotion actually totally gets in the way of what personal devotion is actually all about. And so right now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not very good at this, oh, I do feel a little bit guilty, get rid of it, all right? It's going to get in the way. It's useless. If you look in, you know, if you look back at this week and you think, I should have been spending more time with God, you know what? That's gone. It's done. It's gone. It's nothing you can do about it now, but you can change tomorrow. And to do that, you need to get rid of this sense of guilt, okay? So this is now a guilt-free zone when it comes to personal devotion today, all right? But we're going to look at why. Why do we as a church encourage personal devotion? Why do we do personal devotion? And what I want to get into very quickly later on is how do we do personal devotion? So we're going to jump around in the Bible a little bit today, and because that's the way it's got to be done with this topic. I much prefer personally having a passage and going through it, but we're going to jump around a little bit today, and we're going to start in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And I don't know if the guys will get it on the screen or not. You don't have to, really, because I'm going to do it from the Message translation, so it'll be very different. Well, it'll be quite different, but it means the same thing. So this is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. So it's Paul writing. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he is headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, knowing that he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he ploughed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Paul here is talking about our lives, about his life as a Christian. And he's using the metaphor of it being running a race. Now, this passage isn't about personal devotion. It's about how to live life. So in some ways, it is about personal devotion. It's not solely about it, but it's got a lot to say. And I love this metaphor of a race. And if you know the life of Paul, the more you see his life, the more you see this metaphor makes sense. This is how he viewed life. You know, he saw the end where Jesus was going to be waiting for him, where he was going to spend eternal life with God. And he ran at it full pelt. And anything that got in his way, it seemed like nothing compared to seeing the finish line, seeing the end. And so I love this metaphor, and it helps us in terms of our devotions. Why do we do personal devotions? Because we need training. As an athlete needs training to run, so we need training to run this life, to run this spiritual life with God. So today, this is probably the closest I'm ever going to get to being an athlete, is this, running the race of life. And so I love this metaphor because it makes me feel like I might be fit. But we are spiritual athletes. And I don't follow sports, honestly, very much. I'm not a very sporty person. But even I know the dedication it takes to be an athlete. You know, you see them at the Olympics before they start running. They start to strip down, as Paul says, strip down and get running. You know, they take off their jogging trousers, their tracksuit trousers. They take off their jackets or whatever. They wear just their shorts and their vest, ready to run. And the thing is that devotions are here. Time spent with God is here to train us. It's here to train us to identify what holds us back. Just like an athlete realizes this jacket and this trousers are going to hold me back from running the best that I can. In the same way, personal devotions, time spent with God is there to help us to identify the things that are going to hold us back in our walk with God. The more time we spend with God, the more we realize just how far we fall short. The more we realize that the sin in our life that stops us from living life in all its fullness. So personal devotions are training in how to strip down and start running. They're training in how to identify what holds us back. And this is what's so wonderful, is that it's not about training where you have to do all the work. You know, personal devotion, spending time with God is just so awesome in that when you identify those things that are holding you back, it's not you that gets rid of them, it's God. Like, you can't do it by yourself. It's all about him doing it for you. So why do we do personal devotions? Because we need training in how to identify what holds us back and to get rid of it. But Paul carries on. If we kind of carry on a little bit more, he says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Personal devotion, time just spent with God, is all about just keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. I asked that we sang that song before we started because it sums it up perfectly. You know, our devotional time should all be about keeping our eyes on Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face, and everything else in the earth just looking slightly less important in the light of his glory and his grace. We did this in Pulse a few weeks ago. We talked about how to put things into perspective. The thing is that training, personal devotion, time spent with God, it puts everything, keeping our eyes on Jesus, it puts everything into perspective. You know, I was going to do it again, but I didn't want to get all the stuff out again. Basically, we had a piece of rope, and we looked at the idea that this rope just stretches into eternity. And that's our life with God. We just imagine it just stretches on and on and on. And when you look at that, when you look at the prize, which is life in and with God for all eternity, you realize just how insignificant this moment in time is. This brief period we have on earth is tiny in comparison to the eternity that is stretched out before us. Which means if we keep our eyes on that, if we keep our mind in that sense, we get the sense of perspective that actually the things we're doing now are so minuscule, so just in the light of all of this, in the light of eternity, in the light of life with God that we're straining towards. You know, the early church really got this. The early church really knew. They really had their eyes on the prize, and you see it in their lives. They had the right perspective. They thought Jesus was coming back. And he is. But they thought he was coming back like right then, like any moment he could be back. And it changed the way that they lived. They had the perspective of eternity. And so they went out and they preached the gospel any opportunity. They grabbed people in. They just did everything they could. They gave up everything because they saw it as the most important thing, because they realized how short their time on this earth was compared to what was ahead of them. Our personal devotions are a time for us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And in doing so, get the right perspective on everything in our lives. Now, for those of you, you know, there is a problem here with this metaphor that I want to point out here, the metaphor of a race, is that Paul's saying, run towards that prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the idea that you're going to be with Jesus for eternity. But the thing is, we can stand here, and I think this is a barrier quite often to our personal devotion, is that we can stand here and go, hang on a second, that prize is already mine. That prize at the end, that's already mine, because the moment I believed in Jesus, the moment I accepted his forgiveness, that prize of life eternal with him, that was mine. So why am I running towards a prize that I'm going to get to anyway? Tom's looking like, yeah, why run when you don't have to? But the only way I could think of this is, how do you want to reach that prize? Do you want to be running for that prize full pelt, you know, with just ready to accept it? Or do you just kind of want to limp along and arrive? You know, the only other way I could think of it is, do you want to turn up in a Ferrari or on roller skates? You know, which do you want? Personally, I want to arrive at that prize having run my fastest, having got rid of everything that I can to try and make myself good enough. I'll never do it. I'll never make myself good enough. But the idea is that we try and be better and more worthy of the gift that has been given to us. So we run. We persevere. We need our personal devotions so that we can get the right perspective on life. We need our personal devotions in order that we're trained to live as Jesus lived. You know, if we actually, in that passage, Paul actually says, study how he did it. You know, if we look at the life of Jesus and we think we don't need times of personal devotion, Jesus always was taking himself off for times of personal devotion with God. You know, a lot of the times the disciples would go, where's he gone? And he's wandered off. He's wandered off to go and spend time with God. And the thing is that if we want to be more like Jesus in the world, and I desperately want to be more like Jesus in public, then it starts by being more like Jesus in private. You know, if you want to be doing what Jesus did in public, you've got to do what Jesus did in private. Jesus always spent time with his Father. If Jesus, who always knew eternal communion with God, except perhaps for on the cross, needed time with God, how much more do we need time with God? We need to have our personal devotion time that we might become more like Jesus, that we might be able to see what he was like, study how he did it, and do it in our own lives. We need our time of personal devotion for training to live as Jesus lived. But also we need our personal devotions for training to persevere. You know, this is the wonderful thing about training, is that when you do it right and when you do it enough, it just becomes ingrained in you. Like I was reading this article recently about police in America. I've got to say, it wasn't a particularly positive article. But one of the things they had was an ex-policeman talking about how they trained with firearms. And apparently the American police, when they train with firearms, they go to the academy and they have their guns on them all times. And on the hour, every hour, 7 days a week, they have to take out their gun, hold it like this, and put it back in 10 times. Every hour, on the hour, 7 days a week, for 8 hours a day, 8 months of a year. All right? And they do it because they say the moment of crisis comes, the moment you're in a dangerous situation, if you're having to think about getting your gun out, it's already too late. And this, you know, say that explains a lot about America and their policing, I understand. But the idea of training, that idea of that when the moment of crisis comes, if you have to think about what to do next, it's already too late. If we are trained, if we're every day spending time with God, then the moment of crisis comes, before we even know it, we've fallen on our knees before him and we're asking him for help. Before we even know it, we're relying on him. And that's what training does to us. And our personal devotion Our daily time spent with God is all meant to give us a chance to train, to be ready for those moments of crisis, that when they come, we might be able to persevere, that we might be able to carry on running the race. So why do we do personal devotions? We do personal devotions because, and why do we encourage it? Because we need training. We need training in how to persevere. We need training in how to look like Jesus. We need training to be better and to strip down the things that hold us back. But also, it's got so many other uses, so many other things that we need personal devotion for. We're going to flick to Psalm 119, verse 105 now, which probably you all know very, very well. It's your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my pathway. And this is another aspect of our personal devotion. We need to encourage personal devotion. We need to do it because we need direction. And personal devotions, they can provide us with guidance. And sometimes it's not the big things. It's not even the big times that we get guidance. It's sometimes just the little times of guidance. You know, sometimes just you're sitting there and once you've been, you know, spent time with God and you're learning to hear his voice a little bit more, it's those moments where you go, maybe I should text this person. Maybe I should just give that person a call. Maybe I should pray for this person that's just popped into my mind. These are all moments of God's guidance, and we get to learn his voice by engaging in these personal devotions. We do it because we need direction. In the passage that says, the word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, obviously, the psalmist was talking about the word as in the Bible or as in the Torah. But actually, we know the word as something different. The word, yes, is the Bible, but the word is Jesus. He became flesh. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We know the word as Jesus. And spending time with the word gives us direction. Spending time with Jesus gives us direction. And I love this metaphor of it being like light. You know, you just imagine your life as if, I imagine it, I get into my mind now, this is a little bit scary. I imagine it just as this big dark room, okay, with a big chasm, well no, a big sort of like narrow ledge down the centre with chasms either side, and there's all sorts of glass all over this narrow ledge and barriers in the way. And when you've got the light, when you're doing your personal devotion, you're just spending time with the word, the road ahead is just lit up and you can dodge round all of these bits of glass and things. And then you stop doing it, or you know, I stop spending time with the light, stop spending time with the word, and I start walking along and cutting my feet and nearly falling off. And then I'm walking along in my life thinking, why is this so difficult? It's because I'm walking in the dark. You know, the light is there to be used. The light is there to provide us a way and a light for our path, and we don't use it. You know, our personal devotion is a time where we can spend time with the light, with the word, who will give us direction in our lives. And like I say, it's not even just the big things. It's sometimes just the small things. I remember I used to work at Hackney Council, and I used to work in the housing benefit department. And my job, okay, it's the most dull job in the world, right? It was to take the documents that people had been told to bring in, scan them in, and that's it. Okay, that was my job. It's called document drop-off. It does what it says on the tin, really. And that was my job for quite a while. But the more I did it, the more I realised I knew a lot more about housing benefit, the more I realised I could actually help people if I wanted to, but that's not my job. My job was to take the documents, scan them in, and send them off. And I've got to admit, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet, at that time, my personal devotion life was actually pretty good. And because of that, and I honestly think it's because of that, I began to honestly recognise when God would just put a random thought in my head. And pretty much, you know, not every day, but every few days, I'd be sat at my desk and somebody would come up to drop off this document. And in my head would just be this, you need to help this person. You need to help this person more than you would normally. And so I just would go out of my way then. I'd go and talk to the managers. I'd try and get an assessor down there to actually deal with them right then and there, which you're not really supposed to do. And they used to get annoyed with me, but I figured I had to do it because I was told. But it was just wonderful. And I just felt so happy that I had these moments of God just nudging me in my everyday. And that's what personal devotion can do for us. Spending time with God helps us recognize his voice and gives us direction in the big things, but also the little things. So why do we encourage personal devotion? Because we need training. Oh, such a lot of training. We need direction, but also, frankly, because we need the joy. Personal devotions should bring us joy. They're meant to be joy-giving. If we think about what we're doing, we're spending time with the living God. This is what we're meant to be doing. We're spending time with the God who made everything, who made the stars, who made the universe, who formed us from dust, who imagined the duck-billed platypus. We're spending time with that God. How wonderful of that is. How incredible is that? And how different would our days be if we went in having spent 10, 15, 5 minutes with the God that loved us enough to die for us? How different would our day be if we went into the world knowing just how loved we are? That we gave God the time to just love on us. How different would our days be? How different would our world be? How different would our interactions be if we went up to somebody and we realized how loved they are because of how loved we are? You know, how different would it all be? But that's what our devotions are meant to be. They're meant to be joyous times of us building relationship with the living God, our Father. But, you know, devotions are all about, you know, training. We encourage it because we need training. We encourage it because we need direction. We encourage it because, frankly, we need the joy. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. We need that joy as we go into the world. But, it's a big but. Sorry. But, devotions are pointless. Devotions in and of themselves are utterly pointless. And I think this is why we get so disillusioned. Because we approach our devotional times as a duty, as a guilt-fueled time, as something to earn our space in heaven, to earn the prize that has been given to us at the end of the race. And when we see devotions like that, they don't fill us with joy. And I'd argue a lot of the time they don't provide us with training and guidance. What they do is provide us with a tick box that makes us feel slightly better about ourselves. But when we do devotions like that, we're acting like the Pharisees. You know, we're acting on the law not because of our love for God, but because we feel like we should do it. And when we do it like that, yeah, we're not going to find joy. The fact is that devotions aren't things that we do. What they are, in and of themselves, they do nothing. Devotions are literally just times where we are a way of placing ourselves before God so that he can transform us. Devotions don't transform us. They don't. They can't do anything. Reading your Bible without talking to God, without doing it with God, is not going to do anything. It's not the Bible that transforms us. It's the power of God through the Bible that transforms us. It's not all these other ways of being in times of personal devotion. They in and of themselves don't do anything. All they do is place us in a place where God can transform us. When we approach them like that, then yes, we will see change. Yes, we will see training. Yes, we will see joy. Yes, we will see direction. But when we start to make them a burden, they start to become useless. We encourage personal devotions because we need to be transformed. And only God can do that. And personal devotions are this awesome, wonderful way of us being with God and putting ourselves in a place where he can make those changes, where he can train us, where he can give us direction, where he can fill us with the joy that should be so typical of who we are as Christians. And when they become a burden, we sell them short. We sell ourselves short of what they should be and what is on offer for us. We've looked at why, and we'll come back just to sum up in a minute. But before we do any more, I just really wanted to go into how. How do we do devotions? You know, because let's be honest, we seem to have equated devotions. You know, when we say devotional times or times of devotion, anyone sort of think, oh, you mean quiet times? You know, quiet times is probably the worst term for this because a lot of us aren't very quiet. And actually, times with God aren't always meant to be quiet. And so how do we do devotions? I don't actually think we've got a good idea of how we do it anymore. And so if we go back to actually Hebrews, you know, actually Paul gives us an avenue to explore how we might do this right at the beginning. He says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. You know, Paul's imagining that as he runs this race of life, everybody that's run before him, all of his forefathers, all of the people of Israel that have gone before, before, but all the Christians that have gone before have stood by the side going, go on, you can do it, you can do it. And you can learn from these people who have gone before, these pioneers, these trailblazers. And so that is where I think we need to go. We need to look, how did the people in the Bible, how did our religious forebears, how did our ancestors go about their devotional time? Was it always quiet? No, we're going to take this is going to be quick, okay? So keep up, all right? We'll look at David, okay? David, in his devotional time, he wrote psalms, he sang, he played his harp, you know? We see it. It was not quiet, certainly not. He wasn't just sitting there just quietly strumming away. I imagine David was singing his heart out. He danced before God. You know, you might say that he danced before God when the ark was coming into Jerusalem, so it was an act of public worship. I think if you look at it, David doesn't care the other people are there. He doesn't give a damn what people think of him. It's him and God. And in that time, he's dancing away. You know, we can do our personal devotions, our time with God, by dancing. I'm not going to do it, but you can. You can dance, you can sing, you can play your instrument. Anything that brings that devotion to God, that spends time with him, dedicated to him. But if you're not up with David, okay, what about Moses? Moses had conversations with God. He went into the presence of God and he spoke with God and listened and spoke and listened. He had conversations, he had chats with God. And what it just blows my mind is that people in Israel would have loved to do this. You know, but they weren't allowed in the Holy of Holies where God dwelt. They weren't allowed into that presence of God for fear of dying. Yet because of Jesus, that is open to us. How much they must have desired to have conversations with God and struggled. Yet it's open to us every day and we don't do it. How ridiculous is that? But we can have conversations with God. We can talk to him about our days, talk to him about what's gone on, talk to him about things that we're worried about, talk to him about the state of the country, talk to him about anything. We can have conversations with God. If that's not your thing, you know, Nehemiah, he fasted in his times of personal devotion, you know, and he even wept. You know, sometimes that is a time for us to weep, is in our times just with God. But let me just inspire you with fasting for a moment. Fasting, we don't do very much. Yet, you know, our church tradition, our forefathers, our people that went before us, they knew how to fast and they knew what a beautiful thing fasting is. Now you might be thinking, how can going without food be wonderful? But it is, you know, it's a secret thing you do between you and God. You know, every day you get hungry. What if in that moment where you get hungry, where you're fasting, you suddenly think, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, God. You know, in your everyday, every moment you feel hungry, suddenly your mind is turned to God. And I get hungry a lot. So for me, it's a great way of just remembering God every moment of every day. And when that moment comes, bringing something to him. It's a way of doing life with God that's so secret and like a thing between just you and him. And it's just so beautiful. But we don't do it. Joshua, you know, Joshua meditated. He was told to meditate on the law. And that may have been kind of just sort of chanting it out as he went. But also, I imagine he was, you know, he imagined himself in the situation where the laws might be necessary. You know, meditation, we can imagine. You know, we don't have to just sit here and read the story of Jesus by Lake Galilee. We can imagine ourselves sat by the lake as he taught, looking at the wonder on the people's faces as they get bread and fish from just a tiny little packed lunch. You know, we can imagine ourselves, meditate, imagine ourselves in those stories. Imagine ourselves in the presence of Jesus in these places that we read about. But, you know, even if we come out of the Bible, let's look at some of our, you know, our ancestors in terms of our faith, you know, in the early church or even in the later church. You know, we can transcribe the Bible. You know, I know it sounds a bit weird, but if you like that sort of thing, you could do it. You know, monks for years, they would spend years, decades even, writing out the Bible beautifully, just loving on every word that has come from God, just beautifully recreating it. You know, and we can do that. It might sound like not your cup of tea at all. But then again, it might be like, yeah, imagine getting into the Word. Imagine hearing the words of God, just loving every single one of them as it comes out and you write it on the page. There's so many different ways that we can have our times of personal devotion. And I challenge you to go and find a way of finding this training, this love, this joy that is spending time with God. How do you do it best? There's enough ways that all of us, with our different gifts, talents, skills, and personalities, can find a way to meet with God. So why? Why do we encourage personal devotion? Because we need training. because we need direction, because we need the joy, just basically because every day we need God. Every day we need him. We were built to walk in the garden with him. We were built to be with him every single day. And because of sin, that was no longer possible. But now it is again. Why don't we? Why don't we see the joy, the training? Give God the chance to just love on us every single day. We do encourage personal devotion. And I encourage you to do it this week. Get excited about it. Get trained, get directed, get the joy. Just get God. Let's just pray. Oh, Lord, we cannot thank you enough that you are a God that wants to meet with us. It is mind-blowing that it's not a case of us waiting in a queue for you to give us our moment. You are actively seeking and desperate to spend time with us. You're crazy, but you're amazing. Lord, we thank you that we can have times just spent with you. And we pray, Lord, that this week, not out of guilt, not out of duty, but out of love, out of our need and desire for you, that we might spend time in devotion to you. Spend time with you, doing things, Lord, that not themselves do anything, but that place us before you, place us in your presence so that you might transform us. Lord, we want to be a people that are transformed by you, that look more and more like you, that run towards the prize that is life with you with all our might and strength. Lord, we pray that by this, you would change the world. Amen.